And the word of the Lord says, "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep his hold on him." Let us pray. Father God, thank you for your son, Father. Thank you for sending him to a people that you knew would kill him, Father. Thank you for not leaving us to die a sinner's death that we deserve, Father. Thank you for Jesus and for raising him on this day, Father. Thank you for taking the sting out of death, Father God. Open our hearts to receive this word, Father. And it's in your name that I pray. Amen.
Amen. Please be seated. One of the most theologically correct songs that you have ever learned is one you learned when you were very young. Jesus loves me. Jesus does indeed love you. I want you to look at the person next to you and tell them that. This feels good to hear sometimes, doesn't it? It's hard for a lot of people to accept that truth, though. A lot of folks don't love themselves, let alone feel like the King of Kings can love them, which is kind of right. You aren't that great. I know your parents might have told you that you're special and perfect just the way you are, and you are valuable, made in the image of God. That is true. But the reality of your human nature is that you are sinful. You are selfish. You are self-centered. You want what you want, even when somebody else might not want that. You want to be the king of your own life. And worst of all, in being your king, you reject King Jesus. But you know what? He loves you anyway. That's the beauty of his love. You don't deserve it, but he gives it anyway. Romans 5:8 says it this way, "But God shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Amen. Jesus died to prove his love for you. See, death is the great champion of our enemy, the kingdom of darkness, the great champion of sin, the great champion of Satan. And most people, you might be here today, most people fear death above all things. Their lives are built around the fear of death and a desire to derive as much as they can from this life. All the wealth, all the pleasure, all the fleshly desires that they can, but because they believe that it will one day be gone. That all they do won't matter in the end because death has the final say. And you walk through life and death stalks you as if you were prey. Hulking in the corner, massive and terrifying, towering over you, and always with this horrific presence that you understand that you have no ability to fight off. And the biblical truth is that we as sinners, those that reject Jesus as King, we earn death. Romans 6:23 says, "The wages of sin is death." Through the rejection of King Jesus, we earn the right to come face to face with death, the champion of sin, and to be consumed by it. And this is more than physical death. This is a spiritual death, a removal from the loving presence of God, a never-ending death where we are continually tormented. And this is the inevitable path for all mankind. If there isn't a way for death, this champion of sin, to be defeated. But our Father in heaven has a champion as well. See, Easter can be seen as this cosmic battle between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of darkness, the kingdom of sin and death. And it can be seen as this battle between two champions. See, kingdoms back in ancient times, they would have a champion that stood as the one that would fight for the honor and conquest alone. And each kingdom would choose one of those. And they would go one-on-one for victory for all. You may remember the story of David and Goliath. The giant Goliath was the champion of the Philistines, and he stood day after day mocking the Israelites, mocking God, until a little shepherd boy, a little teenage boy came up and said, "Who does this guy think he is?" And then the champions met away from the rest of the armies, the champion Goliath mocking David all the way, and David with his sling and a stone, and in the power of God, the champion of the Israelites slew Goliath, this giant, and the Philistine army retreated in defeat. Their champion had been defeated. At Easter, we see two champions as well. Death, the champion of sin. And in Acts 2, 22-24, we see Peter preach of heaven's champion in the first sermon ever preached that tells the world of what happened on Easter. At Pentecost, Peter stood, having just been filled with the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, having 120 disciples of Jesus filled with the Spirit, speaking in the languages of the crowds from all nations. The people were bewildered and couldn't understand what was happening. They question and some mock and say that these that are filled with the Spirit are drunk. At the day of Pentecost, Peter stood and he addressed the crowd. He told them that the disciples weren't in fact drunk, but were the fulfillment of the prophecy of Joel, that the Spirit of God had been poured out. The battle had been won. The age of salvation had arrived. And Peter introduces them to the champion of heaven who has won this battle and brought salvation to the world. Look at Acts 2, 22 and 23 with me. Peter says, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst. As you yourselves know, this Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men." He introduces our champion. Think of Peter as like an ancient Michael Buffer. You know, the ring announcer. "Ladies and gentlemen of Jerusalem, for the thousands in attendance and the billions that will hear this story across time, in this corner we have Jesus, a man from Nazareth." This was a man that the crowd at Pentecost had heard of, a man whose reputation had gone far and wide, a man who was known at that time, some 50 days after the resurrection, to have been arrested, put on trial, and crucified, a man who is rumored by the Jewish officials that his body had been stolen. Peter says, "Oh no, he is so much more than that. He's a man attested to you by God." See, the Father had made clear to the people that Jesus operated in supernatural power, from power from heaven. He made clear that he was the champion of heaven. That Jesus is this new and better David facing the giant of death. He pronounced it at Jesus' baptism back in Matthew 3:16. It says, "When Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, 'This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" Jesus was filled with the power of God through the Holy Spirit and marked as his beloved Son. And in the power of the Holy Spirit, Peter says in Acts 2:22 that Jesus did many mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. Peter says it was clear. If you had eyes to see, Jesus is seen as the champion of heaven through the life that he lived. The evidence is clear that Jesus had power from above. He had power over the forces of nature. His works were supernatural. He healed the blind, the sick, the lame. He calmed the winds and the sea with just a word, "Peace, be still." He walked on water. He had power over the supernatural. He cast out demons. He fed thousands upon thousands from 5 loaves and 2 fish and a miracle of creation. He brought a little girl and Lazarus back from the dead. He did many mighty works in their presence, and it left them in wonder. See, the wonder of his works, that points to the people's response to him. They were all amazed. Anybody that saw what Jesus did, heard him preach, they were amazed. They were stunned. They were beside themselves and left speechless at the power they saw on display. They had never seen or heard of anyone doing the things that he could do. And Peter said, these were all signs. All these works were demonstrations of the fact that he is the champion of heaven. And Peter says, he didn't do these things in obscurity. He did them in your midst. In your midst, in your villages, in your synagogues, in your cities, and in your temple. He did them in your presence so that you might know the power of God that dwelled within him. It is undeniable. Undeniable. And as you read today, as you pore over the pages of the gospel, you see miracle after miracle after miracle, all of it pointing you to the same reality that Jesus is the champion of heaven. It is undeniable. He did things that no one else could. And Peter says in verse 23, it is this one, this Jesus, that was delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God. The word delivered up there means to be given over to your enemies, to be dedicated to a battle. And this dedication was not by chance. It didn't just so happen that he got thrown into the hands of the Romans. This was all by the plan of God. See, Jesus was dedicated to this battle by God's eternal plan, his eternal plan to save you from your sin. He says this was the definite plan and foreknowledge of God that had Jesus as heaven's champion. This was always the way it was going to be. Peter says it another way in 1 Peter 1, 18 through 20. He says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last times for the sake of you, who through him are believers in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. I pray that's who you are today. See, Jesus would fight this battle with death on the cross because he, the Father, and the Holy Spirit had planned this before the very first words of creation. They knew that when the time was right, Jesus, the Son of God, the champion of heaven, would come and fight this battle. But woe to those that rejected him in the glorious light of his power and standing as Messiah and King. Woe to those that did not bow before him in submission to his great power, love, mercy, and grace, but instead threw him into the ring with death, as Peter says in verse 23, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. Woe to those. See, this might have been the plan of God, but these men betrayed and rejected Jesus and were guilty for it. But the Jews that saw that all Jesus did and declared they had no use for him, that they give him over to the lawless Romans who murdered the champion of heaven on a cross, you might say they were just following the plan of God and they didn't know. They didn't know what the outcome would be. They didn't know he was going to be raised on the third day. You might say, how is that fair? But they rejected the king. They saw his wondrous works. They heard his teaching. They were in his presence. And they hated him. And so they stand guilty. They rejected the king. And Jesus' words to Nicodemus in John 3:18 say that they are condemned, because they rejected the king. This cosmic battle took place on Friday, and it did rage. Jesus is beaten mercilessly, skin and muscle shredded by a whip, mutilated until his humanity was ripped away. He was mocked and humiliated, a crown of thorns shoved on the champion of heaven's head. He was nailed to a cross, and there the wrath of God, what you deserve for your sin, was poured out on him. And you could look and say, how could this be that all that power that he still went there? Well, the truth is that while heaven's champion seemed defeated at the cross, he remained in total control. The power of the champion of heaven was evident in the details. When he's met by the guards in the garden to be arrested, he doesn't do what you and I would do in the face of all these people and fall down. They fall down before him. When Peter cuts the ear off a servant, Jesus stopped him and assured Peter that he could call down an army of angels if he needed to deliver him. But the champion had to go in the kingdom's place. When the high priest put him on the fake trial and asked if he was the Son of God, Jesus said to him, you have said so, but I tell you, from now on, you will see the Son of God seated at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. When Pilate asked him if he didn't know that he had the authority to release him, Jesus said, you would have no authority over me except that which comes from above. When he hung on the cross, he told the women, don't weep for me, weep for yourselves. While battling sin and death, he saved the thief beside him. As pain ravaged his body, the champion of heaven asked his Father to forgive his murderers, for they know not what they do. And as he took the final elements of God's wrath, he declared, it is finished. This was not a weak and defeated man, but a man who knew where the battle had to take him, a man in control, a man that knew what had to happen to defeat this enemy. He had to be grasped by the strong grip of death and placed in a borrowed tomb. Like a boxer with a strategy to win, Jesus took the fight where it had to go to be won. But to everybody else, it seemed like the fight was over. On Saturday, it looked like death and sin had won. The Jewish leaders rejoiced. The disciples scattered and mourned. But Peter says the fight was not over. Peter says in Acts 2:24, God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible, it was impossible for him to be held by it. Death could not hold him. When the women went to the tomb, they found it empty. An angel told them this glorious and eternal truth from Luke 24:6. He is not here. He has risen. The champion of evil, death, had a strong grip, but it was no match for our Savior's power. That strong grip, that pangs of death, a strong bands that hold fast. All of us, if we fell to it on our own, we're never getting out. But it was not possible for it to hold the champion of heaven, Jesus of Nazareth. He is alive. In this cosmic battle, death has been defeated. Death is no match for him. Jesus wins. Through the resurrection, Jesus won the victory over death for all who believe in him. It wasn't just his victory, it's yours here today if you put your faith in Jesus. All those that are faithfully in the corner with the champion of heaven, Jesus Christ, have no need to fear death ever again. Sin and death and the enemy Satan has been defeated by our champion once and for all. Hebrews 2:10 says that Jesus is the champion of our salvation. And in verses 14 and 15 it says, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. You have been delivered from this fear if you put your faith in him. This is the joyous truth of Easter. You no longer need fear death. You no longer need fear that your life is limited to your time here on earth. Physical death may come, but it does not have the last say, because you have a champion in Jesus Christ, an eternal champion who loves you and was willing to fight unto death and overcome it to prove his love for you. Paul writes of it this way in 1 Corinthians 15. I tell you this, brothers, flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of sin is death, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the question as you are here today, is that victory in Christ yours? Is it yours? Have you been delivered from the fear of death? Have the shackles of sin been broken in your life? All you have to do to be a part of this victory is confess Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart God raised him from the dead. Repent of your sins and stand in his corner with your hands raised high in praise for the champion of heaven. And know that every battle you will face with him in your corner, he will fight for you. You need only be still. Brothers and sisters, this Easter, rejoice that your heavenly champion, Jesus Christ, has freed you from the fear and death. And even more so, live in the power of his victory. Live in the power of his victory. This victory's been won. You are no longer defined by your sin. You no longer need to fear death. You can live in the holiness that Jesus died for you to live in. You can live in the holiness that he rose from the dead that you might live in. Live the life that Jesus sent the Spirit of God to empower you to live. Don't shrink back from being bold with the gospel. Don't feel like you have to do that sin that calls at you and is called continually in your life. You are victorious in Christ over that sin. Stand firm. Paul says we have the victory through Jesus in 1 Corinthians 15. And he says, therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. He's saying, since the victory is ours through our champion Jesus Christ, we should live like victors. Like those who know that we have won for all eternity, with joy in our hearts and a desire to lift our champion's name on high, because he is the one that won our victory. This is the joy of Easter. We are winners. We are winners. We need not live like losers to sin, as if it has some hold on us anymore. The chains have been broken. No matter what we face in life, we shall overcome. And life will bring some bad things. It is through many trials that you will receive the kingdom of God. And I'll end with Paul's words, just so you can understand that though it may be dark right now, the victory is yours in Christ. Romans 8, 35 through 37. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Paul says in verse 37, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. More than conquerors. Live in that truth as you depart from here today. I pray that this truth of Easter fills you with great joy and passion and vigor for life today and every day. You have a champion. You need not fear. Let us pray. Father in heaven, great are you, Lord, and greatly to be praised, that you would send your Son to die to buy our pardon, that you would send us a great champion that could fight the fight that we never could and emerge victorious, not only for himself, but for all of us that call on his name by faith. I pray, God, for the ones that might be here today that are still walking in their sin, that are consumed with it. I pray, God, that they have as much as they have beaten against that fear of death, and still it remains that today it might be conquered in them as they are convicted of their sins, repent of those, confess Jesus as Lord, trust Him as their champion, and live their life in obedience to Him. God, if that happens in one today, may we rejoice in it as heaven will. And may they come forward boldly as winners in Christ. God, I pray for the one that may have been succumbing to sin. God, the one that's been following Jesus, know that he has conquered their sin, but still lives in fear and turmoil with it. That this morning, they will look to Jesus as the champion of heaven and know that they need not live defined by their sin any longer. That He died to free them from that. That He rose from the dead to show them that they are free just as He is. God, draw us to repentance today through the power of Your Spirit. Let us rejoice that we have a champion who sits on the throne of heaven. And that He will be there eternally. And that one day, through faith, we will go to Him as well. Thank You for the beautiful truth of Easter. May it move our lives in power to live for His glory in a manner worthy of the calling to which we've been called day by day. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.